The Denver Nuggets win tonight. A fourth quarter looked a little touchy, but the defense locked in. The Nuggets win 130 to 126. Michael Porter Jr. is back for the first time in 10 games. And joining us now is our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore. Follow him on Twitter at HP Basketball. Matt, this one was touch and go for a while, wasn't it?
Well, I think it was gritty. I mean, that's kind of thing. It's like, you know, they dug a big hole for themselves, and then the Nuggets clawed back out of it with what I think was a pretty impressive effort, honestly. And this season especially, we're seeing league-wide, a lot of times when a team gets up double digits, that's the ball game because teams just do not have the same kind of fight, especially without any sort of crowd momentum either way, like feeding off the negative energy of the crowd or feeding off the home crowd. There's none of that. So we're seeing a lot of those of these games that are double digits turn into blowouts. But Denver really stuck with it. They changed their approach mentally and physically in the second half and crawled back into it, just kind of hung in there and found a way to get the thing into overtime. And then Will Barton stepped up, made free throws. They played great defense. They got a couple of breaks, including Devin Booker missing the end of the game, which is a significant part of that win. But overall, that's a quality win for Denver.
Yeah, it is. And against a good team, if you haven't been following, you know, Phoenix, of course, who added Chris Paul, obviously they're a very talented team. Missing Booker certainly did help late. He went for 31 points, 5 boards, 5 assists. But Nikola Jokic handled that as well with 31 points, 10 boards, 8 assists, oh, and 3 steals to boot. Have you seen any player in your span of time covering the Nuggets that has had a run like Nikola Jokic has in these first 15 games?
Certainly not for Denver. I can't remember a player in Denver's history to have a stretch like this, honestly, to do everything that he's doing. I mean, he's controlling the game the way that the really great players, the elite players in the league do. Scoring, passing, rebounding. One of the final sequences of the game was Jokic broke up a pick-and-roll pass, and that really turned things around. His defense tonight was actually really good in the second half. Even though the numbers were poor, still, they weren't as bad as they were in the first half. Made some adjustments on DeAndre Ayton, playing hard on every possession, and just, you know, he's unstoppable right now. For years, it's kind of been what Nuggets fans have been begging from him to understand how good he is. And he does now, and he is simply taking it to the opponent every single night, no matter what the matchup is. You can't stop Jokic right now.
The team, you mentioned the free throw shooting, really good for the Nuggets, 18 for 19. Not too shabby for Phoenix either, 15 for 15. So phenomenal shooting from the stripe. But I look at the Nuggets in this game, surrendering 17 threes on 44 attempts, almost 40%. Three-point defense has been an issue for the Nuggets. It was at the end of last year, too. Is there anything that you think they can do about this?
Yeah. Honestly, a lot of it is personnel. I think Jamichael Green needs to keep playing a larger and larger role on this team. That's a lot of it. Millsap is still a really smart defender. But there's only the spirit is willing, but the body struggles. And so a lot of it is when the Nuggets run their base defensive scheme, they're putting 2 on ball on the perimeter, which means the middle is open. So if the pass goes to the roll man, you have to bring help down or it's an open dunk. Well, if the roll man then passes to the corner, you got an open 3 with a defender trying to close from the paint to the outside. And that's a difficult rotation to make. And look, threes are up all over the place in the league this season. There was a piece today at The Athletic talking about how the incredible rate that threes are being taken in the league this season, even higher than the last couple of years. But I do think it's one of those things where Denver needs to get better on a string, understand rotations better, stay locked in, and they need to play more athletic personnel to cover that space. Michael Porter Jr., for all of his faults, if he can start to understand his role and duties and responsibilities in these schemes, I think he can help with some of that because he does close out well when he knows he's supposed to.
Yeah, that athleticism does make a big difference. And I'm seeing the same thing you are with Millsap. Obviously, he knows what he's supposed to do, but it's becoming hard to do it. And Porter Jr. comes back after missing 10 games with COVID, plays 20 minutes off the bench, 7 points, 6 boards, a couple assists, a +9 on the night. What did you think Porter Jr. looked like this evening?
I think he played with Monte Morris, who was awesome. That's what I think.
Yeah, Monte Morris was. We're going to get to Monte Morris, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he had 7 points on seven shots. He was fine. I'm not surprised that he didn't try and do too much. It always seems like Porter is caught between those two things. They're trying to do a lot all the time, and then kind of trying very hard not to be that guy and being like, I just want to fit in and like not. I don't want to be the reason things go wrong. And I just want to like slide in. That it's a struggle. It's a struggle for the coaching staff, and it's a struggle for Porter. I think it's a struggle for the other Nuggets to figure out ways to make it work with him. I do think, however, they have hit on something, because it's been apparent in the very limited time that we saw Jamichael Green and Michael Porter Jr. in preseason and regular season, I think for a game, there were like signs that that could work. And there have been signs that Jamal Murray and Morris have worked for years. And so, and we know that Jokic and Jamichael Green work together. So now there's like, there is this possibility now of coming of, you can put, if you put Jamichael Green and Porter together, I think that's going to cover for a lot of Jamichael Green's issues. And it gives him a low usage player so he can absorb more of the shots. I think we're going to see more of those bench lineups, and I think they're going to do very well.
So you don't expect Porter Jr. to go back into the starting lineup?
Not immediately. I think it's up in the air. But at the same time, I think Will Barton was huge in this comeback tonight. He played well. Shot 50% from the field, 17 points, hit 8 free throws in overtime, or 8 points, 6 free throws in overtime. That was huge. He will play really well tonight. So I think, look, I think this is going to be, I think we're going to see, I think we're going to see a lot of different starting lineups this season. I just think that with injuries and the schedule combined with everything else in the matchups, and if they struggle, I think there will be a change. I will not be surprised if Porter starts again at some point this season, but I think for now, it's probably better if he comes off the bench to get reacclimated.
Jamal Murray gets 18 points on 19 shots, so not terribly efficient, 0 for 5 from 3. In the end, though, he did get 18 points, 7 boards, 9 assists, 3 steals, the team's only block. Oh, and by the way, a clutch dagger really late in overtime. So on one hand, I look at it and say, Jamal Murray is doing enough. On the other hand, I watch it and I think, Jamal Murray doesn't look right. Is there an argument that the Nuggets could make that if you're aiming for the long haul here, that maybe Murray needs to sit for a week or two? You have Monte Morris, probably the best backup point guard in the league, and a guy that's become a very capable scorer as well. Is there, what's the situation realistically with Jamal Murray?
I mean, I think the biggest problem is you're going to have to figure out how the Nuggets are going to finance an army to keep Murray off the court, because like that's what it's going to take. Look, the guy, I honestly underestimated for a couple of years his competitive spirit. I thought he was a good player that was developing and brash and confident, but I really underestimated how much of it is just driven by an absolute will to compete. And in a sport where everybody takes the night off if they're afforded it, Jamal Murray is the exception to that. He doesn't do that. And this is the problem. And I don't think the coaching staff feels like they have cushion to, you know, how can they survive if they don't have their starters, because they're already struggling to start this season. You know, I think tomorrow is going to be really interesting. They play a lot of minutes. It's like 40 minutes a night.
Right.
Back-to-back versus the Suns after travel. The schedule is just, it's brutal. At some point, you have to have some view of the long game. And I just don't know what it's going to take for them to get there, because if you do win, if you start winning, right, and it's like, well, look, if we can get some games over 500, then he can rest. Then it's going to be, oh, we're playing too well. We can't rest him now.
Right.
Things are going too well.
That's the problem, right, Matt, is we're looking at a situation where there is, you need to probably give him some rest over this long haul. You can't play him this many minutes, and he's clearly fatigued or battling an injury or something. But at the same time, how many times can you afford to lose games? They're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. But my fear, and probably yours as well, is if he's playing with a slight injury, if he's playing fatigued, my worry is then that becomes a significant injury, and now you're in real trouble.
Yeah, and I think especially with the elbow, if it never really fully heals and it goes haywire for so long, that's going to affect his shot mechanics, and it's going to take a while to fix that. Now, you know, he still hit that big dagger and he still can shoot and all these things, but you do worry about it. And part of it is just there are, I don't know, 15 to 20 organizations in the NBA that are resting starters tomorrow night. They're going to go, hey, we got a big win. That was a quality win versus a good opponent, which we've been missing. We had not had that. That's a really good win. Let's ease off the throttle. It's back-to-back. There's no fans. Like, you played 40 minutes. You know you can beat this team. Let's throttle back, especially because Booker and Chris Paul may not play in that game. But I just don't think that'll be the approach. And they're going to be right back at it. And that's just how it's been this season and last for a team that has very high expectations.
Talking to Matt Moore, our Nuggets insider. Follow him on Twitter, HP Basketball. And talk about somebody whose shot seems to be getting better. Gary Harris tonight, 8 for 12 shooting. Harris, to me, looks a little bit more like the guy that we saw 2 years ago before the injuries robbed him of so much over the last couple seasons. What are you seeing from Harris this year as opposed to last year?
He definitely looks like he's got more bursts. It's gotten better as the season has gone along, which I wonder if he just played himself back into shape. One complaint that a lot of the Nuggets had was that after the playoff run, they just had to stop everything, right? It's like they literally had just be like, we're just resting. It wasn't usually in an NBA season, there's a gradual ramp up. You know, you take a couple months off, you go to the beaches, and then you're like, all right, we're back in the gym and we're doing conditioning. And then we're doing basketball work, and then we're running 5-on-5, and then training camp starts. And this was just like, hey, you're home. Okay, we're coming back to work next week. So I wonder if a lot of this is that Harris is playing himself back into shape after not being able to do anything because he needed to rest. The shot's still inconsistent, and that's just going to be inconsistent. You see what the Nuggets are capable of when they get efficient shooting from him and Barton, and when they defend any level whatsoever. Like, that second half was a really brilliant performance, brought about again by adversity. But with Harris, I can't be like, okay, he turned a corner. I have to see it for weeks on end to believe that he's stabilized, given how wobbly his performances have been the last two seasons.
Yeah, and that's the concern. Four of his last six games, he shot over 60% from the field. But in the two that are in between against Utah and Oklahoma City, he was a combined 6 for 20. So there are games where it just doesn't seem to go there. But it does seem like there's a little progress being made, which is good. We wanted to talk a little bit about Monte Morris. To my mind, I have not seen a better sixth man in the league. Monte Morris has improved his offense in virtually every capacity. What can you say about his performance tonight and what he's meant to the Nuggets thus far this year?
Calm, cool, collected, never gets rattled. If they need a spark, he's got it. He'll finish tough in transition. He sets the offense. He never turns the ball over. He's limited defensively, physically, but not in spirit. He fights over screens to the best of his ability. Quick hands, always plays heads up, has learned how to play with Jokic. Runs the offense masterfully. Like, you can just count on him. His first season that he started playing, we started calling him the tourniquet. And the reason was because, like, you could bring him in and just stop the bleed. If things went wrong, you could bring Monte Morris in, and he would just take care of things. And he continues to kind of be that. Malone called him the Pied Piper tonight because he orchestrates things so beautifully. Having a guy that can play next to Jokic, who will facilitate and make sure that that everything is running the way that it needs to, but also can actually drive things and play off of Jokic simultaneously, it's just huge. He's a phenomenal player. He's a great personality in the locker room. I can't say enough positive things about Monte Morris.
Yeah, one of the better contracts the Nuggets have signed in a while. By the way, his totals in assist to turnovers, 45-6. That's 9-1. Shows you the kind of stability that he can bring. Now the Nuggets have that back-to-back with the Suns. Obviously, this is going to be a strange season all around. But now that this team is over 500, and it's been a struggle to get there, now that they're finally over 500, how do they stay there with a back-to-back against Phoenix and then road games at Dallas, at Miami, and at San Antonio in their next four?
This is the adversity. This is where Denver's at its best when the chips are down. Every time it's like, okay, this is the hard part, that's when they play well. It's when things are comfortable. You know, the opening night versus the Kings that you can't trust the Nuggets. I would not be surprised if they rattle off some wins here. They're figuring out a lot. I think they're starting to understand who they are a lot better. And look, the defense is still, they're going to lose some of these games because they're just going to be nights when the defense is going to give up 120, 130, 140. It's just how it is. They're just limited there. But they have enough firepower. And honestly, they're in a spot now where, with what Jokic is giving them, they're going to have a chance every single night, because when you have a player playing at the level that he is right now, you always have a chance to get a win.
Last one for you. We're talking with our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore. Looking at this team now, this was game 15. Given the season this year, that's 20% of the season. I understand it's early, but based on what you've seen thus far, is this a Nuggets team that can get back to the Western Conference Finals?
Yes. And the only reason I kind of say that is this year is such a mess. It's just such a mess, Sean. Like, every single day is a postponement. You know, there's so many injuries. Guys are exhausted. The basketball, a lot of times, is really bad. We're just a long way from the end. And so I think this team can make a run if it gets the right series of matchups. I don't think anybody in the Western Conference is matchup-proof outside of maybe the Lakers. But even then, I think that they're vulnerable to certain matchups. The Nuggets can make a run if things fall their way. But I think we're a long way from there, and I do think that this is, if last year was difficult, if the bubble was a challenge, it's not going to be anything like this year. This is going to be the most challenging run that they've had.
He is Matt Moore. Follow him on Twitter at HBBasketball and ActionNetwork.com. And obviously, thanks for the time tonight. I know it's a little bit late, but interesting. Good to see the Nuggets at least getting healthier. That's step one. Appreciate the time tonight.
Thanks for having me, John. Talk next week.
Thank you so much. Good to talk to Matt about the Nuggets' big win tonight. It is a big win. Look, this is a team that just tonight got over 500. That's not what you're after, but it's better than not being above 500, so there's that. Their roommates at Ball Arena, the Colorado Avalanche, go to overtime tonight, and they also get it done over the Anaheim Ducks. We'll talk to our Avalanche insider, Adrian Dater, about that game next.